Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Anyway, so man, we're looking at this series that we're doing, Claymation Christmas. So every Friday night, we're going to watch a Claymation movie. We had a ball. We ate candy. We had popcorn, and we watched Claymation's movie from the 70s with no political overtones and with no references to shots or anything else. So people could just like breathe for a minute and watch this thing that doesn't appear on the surface to have anything with God. But hopefully by the time we're done with today, there's going to be a tie-in that you can go teach your children, that you can have conversations with your children about. Now, they're not going to be deep theological conversations. They're just going to be conversations, because here's what I found is that most deep theology comes out of light conversation. For real, like Jesus would have conversations like this. Is anybody hungry? Wow. Or this, can I have a drink? How many times do you say that in a week? Hey man, will you grab me a drink? Will you? He's sitting on a well and he looks at some lady and goes, hey, can you get me a drink? She's like, yeah. And then he's like, well, you don't know who you're asking. I mean, he like starts this conversation that's deep and life-altering. And so we think this. We think that if you lean into these conversations with your kids, with your grandkids, that you can spur some stuff on. But you can't have a conversation with them that you haven't had with you first. You can't have a conversation with your kids, because all kids' messages are is adult conversation on their level. So you go, well, I don't have kids, so I can check out of this series. No, because some of y'all, I know you. You need some kid conversations in your life. I think that most of us struggle, honestly, I think that most of us struggle with how we fit in with God. Especially if you've ever been through a season in your life where you don't understand what's going on. You feel like you're not enough. You feel like nobody loves you anymore. You feel like purpose is left. Maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe things in your family have gotten tense. Let's be honest. It's the holidays. It's a great time for some jankness to kick off in your relationships. You want to see how crazy your family really is? Get around the holidays. Put them all in the same room and ask them to get along. Bring them all to dinner. Your crazy uncle is going to show up. Your two ends of the political spectrum are going to come and sit on either side of you. Or worse yet, you're not going to have any family to sit around you. And that's going to bring up a different set of issues. That's going to bring up a different form of isolation. It's going to bring up a different thing. So the thing that we do oftentimes to balance that, and rightfully so, is we turn to our faith. We turn to God and we say, man, how does this make sense? And so what we struggle with is this, is how do I get God to move? And so I was looking, and just to be honest, this message may not be for you today. It may be 100% for me. But I was looking in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. I'm going to read from the ESV. Whatever you read from will be pretty close. But I had never actually read this in the rhythm of what really happens. If you don't know what story we're about to lean into, it's actually the story of the feeding of 5,000. And so the whole time I have focused on a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread, right? That's the point of the story. Or is it? Because if you watch it, it begins like this. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and all that they had taught. So apostles and disciples in this term are interchangeable. So the disciples come, they come back to Jesus and they look at Jesus, hey, hello Jesus, I want to tell you everything I've done and everything that I've taught. Because you, my friend, will be proud of us. Now, on a level, this doesn't make any sense. Because you're like, stop it. I do this all the time. I want people to look at our church and look at the ministry that God's doing here. And I want them to be like, man, y'all are doing so awesome. And we look, right? You look for the accolades. You want the attaboys. If you ever brought something to Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner and you want your mother-in-law to say something nice once in her life, or maybe you dress up really nice and you want to walk out of the kitchen, or not the kitchen, you want to walk out of the bedroom and have your husband go, wow, you look incredible. Like, have you ever just wanted the applause one time? Here the disciples are, and they're like, man, Jesus, we're doing some good stuff. We're doing stuff that you should be proud of. We're teaching, like we're not screwing, like Peter is going, I'm not screwing anything. I didn't say anything stupid the whole day. Because I think Peter is probably the one leading this conversation. Anybody shocked that that's probably the case? Peter say, Jesus, I taught. Here's what I taught. It was right. I didn't cuss. I didn't say anything stupid. There was no like get behind me Satan moments. I did a fairly good job. Look how hard I worked. Matter of fact, if you read verse 31, it says this. It says, so they go up and they tell Jesus everything. And he said to them, now before you read any further, what do you expect? If you went to Jesus, if you like showed up and Jesus is right beside you, and you're like, Jesus, you're going to be so proud of me. I went the whole day and I didn't cuss at my boss and I didn't cuss at my employees. And these children that you gave me, they survived. And I prayed for my spouse rather than choking them because I thought about it. And I took the trash out myself rather than nagging my husband. And like I made it, Jesus. I navigated today pretty doggone good. If I say so myself, can I get a amen from the, you know what I'm saying? Can I get something from you, Jesus? He said, can I be honest? I spent a lot of my days feeling like this. I'm like, man, I really served the Lord today because I prayed with five people and I led somebody to Jesus and I preached a funeral and I went and visited somebody in the hospital and I did some marriage counseling with some people and man, I'm exhausted and look how good I am. And that's pretty much what the disciples did. And I think it's what we do. And Jesus says this. He says, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest for a while. That's your response? Your response after I told you everything I've done and everything I taught is to go away and do nothing? That's not what I wanted. Watch this. I'm gonna read just a little further. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even to eat. Can I have a mom that knows exactly what this scripture text means? It looks like this. You want 1 minute alone by yourself just to pee. I wasn't asking for much. I just want to pee alone in a room with myself. And from under the door, you see four little fingers. Mama. Hey, Mama. Hey, Mama. What you doing? I'm talking to Santa Claus, baby. What are you... Can you tell him I said, hey, and what I'd like for Christmas is a Barbie Jeep, and it, right? And you're just, like, it just, it's on. I just want 1 minute by myself, please. Well, here's the thing. The disciples were that kind of busy. Scripture says that they were so busy, they didn't have time for any leisure, not even to eat. And here's the thing. It says, for many were coming and going. Man, people are always needing something from the disciples. And part of that, you go, that's what they were created for. And I would agree with that. I think that they were, that the disciples sent them like he does us into the world to meet people's needs. But how come it is when the disciples bring this constant busyness to Jesus, his answer is sit down and don't do anything? Matter of fact, he said, leave them. Leave them and go away to a desolate place. Now, the first time I read that, I'm thinking like a desert with nothing there, right? That's not what it means. It means a place where there are no distractions. And I was like, hold on. So you know what I did? I went all the way back to the book of Genesis, like chapter 1, and started reading forward. And so what I learned was this, that in the beginning, God starts creating stuff. And on day 1, he creates stuff. And on day 2, and day 3, and day 4, and day 5. And anybody know what he creates on day 6? Man, the people that were here first service, the only people that said anything, don't feel bad about yourself second service, because first service, they were equally as quiet, because nobody wants to holler anything out in church that's wrong. Plants! No, it was people. Ah. People. God creates people on the sixth day. He creates mankind. Adam. Creates Adam. Later, he's going to take a rib. Now watch what happens. God creates Adam on the sixth day. Now, somebody tell me, you'll get this one right? Like, this is my free, like, you're going to get a Jesus point. Like, if we're in children's church, this is the point where I set you up for candy, okay? What happens on the seventh day? What does God tell everybody to do on the seventh day?
Rest.
From what? What has Adam done? Nothing. He's blew into some dirt. Hey, here I am. It's like Pinocchio. I'm a real boy, right? He's there, and he's like, the first thing God tells him to do is he says, okay, you're a real boy. Now rest. Because here's where I made a mistake, and I think it's a mistake a lot of us are making. I, up to this point in my life, and I mean like when I say up to this point in my life, like this week figured this out. I always thought that Sunday was to recover from the week. That wasn't the way God created it. God created the Sabbath so that you could prepare for what He was about to do, not to recover from what you had been doing. Now I'm going to say that again. The Sabbath is not made for you to recover. It's made for you to prepare. And how do we prepare? By doing nothing. Well, how is that preparing? Because here's the thing. You've got to create the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological space for you to deal with what God's getting ready to do in your life. And what we do is this, is we think the more we add in, the healthier we are. And so we take all the margin out of our life. Verse 32. And they went away to the boat to a desolate place. Man, they're throwing desolate around like this is a Sesame Street episode. The word of today is desolate. And the number three. So they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got ahead of them. You ever felt like all the problems in your life are ahead of you? Like by the time you get there, they're there waiting on you. Because remember, they're going to this place. They're going to this place to get away from people. Can I be honest with you? Some of you through Thanksgiving and Christmas need to learn the art not of growing more spiritual fruit on your tree. You need to learn the gift of a different room. Like, have you ever left a family event and been like, man, I praise God. You know, your crazy uncle was there. It can never be your crazy uncle, because then you admit you have crazy in your family, and that will come up in an argument in the future. But you're with your crazy in-laws, and you're like, you know what? Jesus, look how proud of me you should be, because her crazy uncle was there, and I didn't argue with him. I didn't cuss at him. I had love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Again, since saying there are no law, woo, I survived Thanksgiving. And what Jesus said is, why didn't you just go in the other room? It was empty. Why didn't you just take a break? Why didn't you just rest? I mean, I'm glad you got fruit on your tree, son, but the back bedroom was empty. Why? Why do we think that if nobody's talking to us, that somehow God has us in the wrong spot? I like going into places where everybody's mad at me because nobody talks to me. That's a win. And I don't take that time to search Facebook or Instagram. When was the last time you just sat somewhere with nothing and just were there? I just went on the back porch. I took a back porch siesta. I took a back porch vacation. I just sat back there. I took a front porch siesta. I just went somewhere and I just sat because it made me peaceful. And I just said, God, if there's something you want to tell me about what's coming up, tell me. If you just want me to sit here and recharge my batteries, I'm going to do it. But I'm leaving my phone. I have left my phone more this week than I have left it in 5 years. And I have people, man, I've been calling you all day. Well, I ain't been answering. Not because I don't love you. I'm going to be here for you, but leave me a message. And I'll get to it in a rhythm. Can you come back up? Can you come back up? Has anybody ever done this? Have you ever been to a wedding and there are two spouses, right? You got a bride and a groom, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. That was free. So you got this. And they're playing the first dance music, right? Like that. You know what I'm talking about? But have you ever seen a guy who can't dance? And he's crushing her feet. Because women will cram their toes into the middle pointy shoes when they get married. And then he'll step on them. And she'll have an expression that you're like, because I'll call it out. Like with the table that I set out, like table 4, I will call out If you don't know, there's a backstory behind that. I'll tell you after church. But we were at a wedding, and we were sitting with a group of people, who a lot of whom are here now, and we were talking about what's going on. But the first dance, man, if you've got a groom who can't dance and he crushes her toes, you'll be like, ooh, he stepped on him. Because she'll go. But you know what's worse is not being coordinated in the dance? So what if you've got the dance wrong? What if the rhythm that God's trying to play for your week sounds like this, but you're doing the Carlton to it? No. Like I'm really being serious. What if you're trying to put so much more into your week than the rhythm that God spaced your life for? Some people go, I want my kid to be well-rounded, so I want him playing four sports. I've seen your kids. They're not any good. They're enjoying it. Praise God for it. They don't need to play four sports. They need to find rhythm. I don't mean for a musical instrument. I mean for life. You need to teach your kids. God required 14% of your week to be downtime. He said, 14%, I want you to go hear the word of the Lord. I want you to go to church because I want you to be ready for what's coming. And then I want you to rest because some stuff is coming. And if you're not rested, I don't need you resting from what you just did. I need you in rest so that you can prepare for what's about to come. But I need you to find the rhythm of your week. And the rhythm of your week does not mean that you pull your phone out every time you've got downtime. Go out on a date. Take your spouse on a date. I'm going to teach you something. This is fair. Go out on a date. Take your kid out on a date. I don't care. Take somebody out on a date. And I want you to watch how many times you get ready to grab your phone. Then look around the room and watch how many people are on a date together, but they are not in a desolate place together. Man, do you remember when you were dating and you wanted to be desolate? Some of us planned it. 8 cents in gas, so you can say you put gas in the car. But when you got out in the middle of nowhere and it ran out before cell phones, and we just had to wait on somebody to come by. There's a generation that doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Why didn't you just call an Uber? Because we didn't want one. We wanted to be alone. What happened to the art of just being alone with the Lord? What happened to the art of just being alone with your family? What happened to just taking a minute to get ready for what the Lord was about to do? Now watch this. It says, now many saw him, recognized him, they ran out ahead of him. They were all there waiting on him. Verse 34. You can sit back down. I'm sorry. When they went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. This is Jesus, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Man, thank God that he teaches us all the time. Verse 35, it said, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate. Man, how many times are we going to use desolate in one set of scripture verses? This is like three times now in one small spot. Because here's the thing, the context of desolate changes. When Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to go to a desolate place. He told them, I want you to go to a place where you're all alone. Then they go out on a boat. How many of you guys know that a boat and a shore are two different kinds of desolate? But now in the context, there's a crowd there, but it's still desolate. Desolate in this case means there's no Chick-fil-A nearby. And if it was, it was Sunday, so it wasn't open anyway. They came to him and said, this desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away and go into the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy them something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and you're in the middle of nowhere? You just told him everything was closed. It's late. Jesus, there ain't a Waffle House in this town. What are we going to do? And Jesus looks at him and goes, you feed them. You feed them. Well, Jesus, how can I feed them? You can feed them because the whole time I've been sitting here teaching them, you've been resting. And now you're ready to put in their life what only you can put into their life. See, the point of rest is so that when the moment comes, you're ready. I watch people try to work all the time, and you cannot work all the time. Now, two weeks ago, I used a quote from Something Hunter. I love it. It's probably going to go on my body somewhere, but it said this. It says, when I come in to the end of my life, I don't want to come in with a well-preserved body. I want to come in with a cloud of smoke behind me, sideways into heaven, with a worn-out body and just broken down. And I want to say, wow, what a ride. I believe that to be 100% true, but I believe in calculated exertion. You ever watch somebody work harder and not smarter? I never will forget. I was on a construction site one time, and we had a young guy who was there, and he was trying to prove something, and he was going to get like four stacks of 2x4s and just toting them in the sun, North Carolina sun, and drop them off. And he went back, and he had sweat dripping off his nose, but he's a man. He's gonna pick them up. He's gonna carry them. I'm gonna show people. Look how strong I am. And he got about 3/4 of the stack done. And the guy that I was talking with looked at him and said, "How long do you think it's gonna take him just to use the skid steer?" Because you can have something to prove and not accomplish what you can do with the right power behind you in the right moment. See, I'm not opposed to working hard, but I want to know that there's a return on my investment. Well, God looked and he said, what I want you to do is I want you to be rested for when the moment comes to return the investment, you're going to be ready. If you're trying to help all these people who don't want your help, when the person who God's going to send across your path that needs help is there, you're going to be too tired to do it. If you're staying up late searching Facebook, trying to keep up with your friends rather than keeping up with the rhythm of what God's playing for your life, then when your moment comes, you're going to miss it. Jesus looked at him and said, okay, it's your turn. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? See, their answer was to go outsource it. Let me find somebody that can help. Lord, there's got to be an answer. Let me go, right? And Jesus said, whoa, before you go looking at what everybody else has, what do you have? Because see, there's more inside of you than what you realize. God wants to use more of what you have than anything else. That's why in our church we believe in three things. We believe that this is a safe place for people to come and know God. That's on whatever level you need to figure Him out on. We believe that this is a place where you can grow in God. That this should be a place where every time you come, your faith is challenged and expanded. And then we believe that while you'll never leave growing in the Lord, how many of y'all know that we're going to grow till we die, right? It's kind of like your ears, just hang on, they're going to get bigger, right? We want your faith to get bigger. But the third thing is this, we want you to go do something for God. And we're not saying that your something has to look like somebody else's something. We're not saying that you have to go into Africa or that you have to go. The place God called you to be may be your workplace. It may be your house. It may be your family. It may be. Does this make any sense? God just wants you to grow where He plants you. And we believe that where He plants you, you've got the miracle grow to have something major happen. You receive this? So watch this. So it says this, how many loaves do you have? And when they had found out, they said five loaves and 2 fish. And then He commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. Now, when I first read this, and I shared this with you guys during the COVID season, I never understood this scripture until I put it in context of Psalms 23. He told them to sit down on green pastures, right? He told these folks to sit down on green grass. But wait a minute, I thought a verse back, we were in a desolate place. I think here's the answer to that, is that when we sit down and we rest when God tells us to, even our desolate places become luxurious. And we just sit down and we're like, God, I don't have a clue what's going on. Because you know nobody here but Jesus had an idea what's going on. Hey, Jesus, we're going to feed them. Okay, well, here's, what do you have? This. Okay, have everybody sit down. Why? Have everybody rest. Sit down. Calm yourself. Do you know that if we would learn to rest, we would buy less stupid things in our lives? We would hang out with less stupid people? We would make fewer stupid decisions? If we would learn just to sit down and go, God, I'm running my rhythm, not yours. I'll just sit down. Let me know what we're doing next. It's the point of a Sabbath. Sit down. Relax. Get ready for what's coming. Sit down in your green pasture. I'm about to do something. Yeah, but I don't have enough. Yeah, sit down. I'm about to do something. But I'm not enough. Sit down. You're already enough. I got you. Just sit down. You're fine. Watch this. Verse 40. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples set before the people, and he divided the fish among them all. Now, can I have your cap? Now, we just got done with Thanksgiving. Here's what I figured out. At Thanksgiving, I get my plate and I pile my plate full of stuff and go through the mama buffet line. Everybody know what I'm talking about. Anybody here, when you get done with your plate at Thanksgiving, there's way more stuff on there than you know physiologically you're going to be able to put in your body safe. And so what you do, you start eating it, and you eat to where you know you need to stop, then you unbutton the top button, you eat some more, then you go to the dessert thing. Right? But when you're done, you've got all this little bits of stuff left over on your plate, right? Now, at my mom's house, what we do is my mom pre-buys Tupperware before we get there to send home because she doesn't need that Tupperware back. And if you need a lot of stuff, we'll break out the Cool Whip containers. And the old Chinese to-go cups. You know what I'm talking about? Those, man, I don't know. Everything else may be cheap at a Chinese restaurant, but those that clear Tupperware stuff, that stuff is indestructible. I'm sure it's full of BPA and all that other stuff. And so what happens is you eat all your food, and then you're left with these remnants. Now, we'll pack a lot of stuff up in our family, but what's left on your plate, we're not like trying to put in like Ziploc bags and stuff. What we do is we go over to the trash can. You rake off the trash. Watch this. Verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. See, you can consume and never be satisfied. But if you find the rhythm for your life that God sets, they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. In that moment, I found the lesson of the plate. So I don't care who you are here, you've got the broken pieces that what you want to do, with your broken pieces is you want to throw them away. You want to take that season in your life where you went through hell and you just want to scrape it in the trash cans. You don't want anybody to know that that happened. Or that addiction that was in your life or that breaking moment in your life. See, what you want to do is you just want to throw all that season away and let's just focus on the miracle. Let's focus on all the people that were fed and let's focus on all that. We don't want to talk about the broken relationship. We don't want to talk about the divorce. We don't want to talk about how I was abused. We don't want to talk about the addiction that I had or we don't want to talk about that kind of brokenness. No, let's just talk about the other stuff. And here's what I learned, that if you really find the rhythm to your life, you're going to find the blessing in the trash. You're going to find the blessing of the broken pieces, because the broken pieces are actually what makes the beauty of the story. Because the 5,000 weren't fed on the wholeness of the loaves and the fishes. The 5,000 were fed by the brokenness of the loaves and fishes. Here's what I think. I think that you may have taken some weird twists and turns to get here. You may have some scars that came from the life you've lived. Maybe you're still scarred. Maybe you're actively bleeding. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't waste the best part of your story. Don't waste the brokenness that's in your life. Even if you're like, man, am I ever going to get out of this? I'm going to tell you, here's your free one. If you're in a situation and you've done all you can do to stand, like you've sent out every resume, you've budgeted to the last penny, whatever your part in this is, you've done it all. Here's my next piece of advice. Sit down. Take a day off. Because the Sabbath was meant for you to figure out, it was never about you fixing it anyway. Those broken pieces are about what God can do that you can't do. They're about doors opening that there's no way you're ever going to get them open. They're about God fixing financial parts of your life that are unfixable. They're about God healing relationships in a way you never even thought possible. Yeah, but I don't know how it's going to work out. Good. Sit down. You ever get ready to give your kid a birthday cake and they're pre-sugar loaded. I don't know how it happens. You haven't given them anything but maybe a hot dog, and it's birthday cake time. And now they're, You ever been to this party? And finally the mom looks and goes, sit down. And the kid's like, okay. And it's like springs in his butt, right? He can't quite do it. And finally mom does that between the teeth thing. I said, sit. Because she can only get so mad because you're in public. Sit yourself. Or she eyebrows you. I said, sit your behind in the chair. The next spanking you get is not going to be your birthday spanking. Little Johnny. But she has to do that because from the back room where Johnny couldn't see was a cake that was lit with candles. The blessing and the presence and all that stuff was about to happen, but first you had to get them to sit down and rest so that they could receive. See, the whole point of the Sabbath is for you to sit down and get ready because it's never been about what you can do anyway. If you could do it, you wouldn't even need God. But when you take those broken pieces and go, God, I've done everything I can do to stand, so now I'm going to stand, but I'm going to stand sitting. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, it makes about as much sense as the first will be last and the last will be first. No, the first will be first and the last will be last. Jesus, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is this. My ways are not your ways. You need to sit down and wait on me and let me help you make things happen. But when you try to make them happen, I have to sit down. When you create the rhythm of your life, I can't. So now for me, my day off, man, I'm sitting down. I'm asking God, God, what's the rhythm of my life look like? What does the rhythm of my week look like? Because I want to see you take the broken places in my life and use them for something good. Because if I'm just broken for the sake of being broken, it's wasted. If I'm just raking all that stuff off in the trash, it doesn't matter. 44. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. When we sit down and rest, we find out that God takes all of our broken pieces and multiplies them into something way greater than what we thought. If I ask you, I say, hey man, we got a Lunchable here. Pretty much what we had, right? Just how many people can we feed with it? Well, you'd have different guesses. People go, I think one. If it's Matt, it's like not even enough to get started. But if it's Liam, one of our nursery kids that's barely going to eat anything, maybe we could do 4 or 5 nursery kids. But if we take it to youth, it's not even going to be like, it's just vacuum in space, right? And Jesus said, yeah, but when I look at it, I see enough to feed 5,000 men. How big are these men, Jesus? Full size. You ever think that maybe your brokenness isn't enough? Maybe you're not enough? And God say, man, what I'm going to do is take all that stuff. I want you to find your confidence and your rest in me so that you can have a life that's way more multiplied in its impact than what you ever thought. See, that's what I really believe with all my heart. Now, when you go to teach this back to your kids, here's what I think. When we look back at the movie, the first movie, we know that Santa was broken, man. He was just tired. He wanted to give up. You ever want to give up as a parent, as a spouse? You ever watch your third grader want to give up? Most of the time it's because they're tired. They're tired of failure. They're tired of trying. They're tired of, it's just too much. So here's the thing. When you go home and you teach your kids this week, teach your kid that even in the broken places, even in the tired places, God moves. But honey, we may need to slow things down. It may mean that you don't get to play every sport you want to. Or guess what? You're not going to be able to play video games right up to the minute you go to bed. We need some margin for you to dial down. You need some place to rest. Hey, we're not going to run around 7 days of the week like we used to. We're going to take one day, 14% of our week, we're going to go to church, and then we're going to throw it in neutral. I don't care if we're asked to mom and them's house. I don't care if your neighbor's got a cookout, your brother's got a birthday party. Sometimes you have to say no to really valuable things so that you can say yes to the most important things. That's a lesson you need to teach your kids. The second thing is this. Do you remember Heapmeister and Stowmeiser? Each of them had their own identity, but each of them had their own purpose. Just because you or your kid's identity doesn't look like it's somebody else's doesn't mean you don't have purpose. One of the things that drives me batty about our country is in men and women, we teach that one size fits all. This is what perfection looks like. Can I tell you? Big or little, short or tall. Smart or not so smart, book-wise. Can I be honest with you? I thank God for my doctor who is book smart. But I thank God for my electrician who's hands-on smart. Because those are not interchangeable. I thank God for my roofer and my dentist. Man, call out what's beautiful in your child, but call out what's beautiful in you. Because without summer and winter, which are really the two seasons we have in North Carolina, you don't have seasons. We have to celebrate what God's doing different. It may look different in your kid. Your kid may not look like your Instagram kid's friends, your friend's Instagram kid. Wish my kid was like. No, you don't. I know their kid. Don't trade. It's like trading wives. It's like trading husbands. Work on the one you've got. Well, that was good. Thank you, preacher. Yes. So as you leave here today, man, here's our takeaway. Here's a big takeaway. First of all, in your life, you've got to figure this out, man. Are you going to let God use the broken pieces, and are you going to find margin? Because in this season, it's going away quick. Are you really going to start taking a season where you take a day and you 14% of your week, man, and you're going to invest it in just doing nothing? Can I tell you, as a parent, one of my favorite things to do is sit when my kid was little and watch him play in the floor. It's just, man, it was just peaceful. I just enjoyed it. I was as proud of him for sitting and playing the floor as I was for getting an A on his spelling B. I was happy to watch my son ride around our yard on a motorcycle and crash into things, learn how to be a man. Because in life, you're going to crash into stuff, and it's going to hurt, and you just got to get up and get back on the bike and keep riding it. Is this making any sense to anybody? God said this. He said, I'm happy for what you're doing at work, but I'm happy when you just take time and rest. Man, if we can put that in our kids, if we can teach our kids to celebrate some of the differences from them and their friends, we can teach them to, in their tiredness, not become frustrated and quit. We can learn that. And I think we learned a lesson not that can just carry us through Christmas. We can change our life. We find the rhythm of our life. We can find the peace of our life. You receive this today? Those watching online and here in house, with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around, say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here, and man, I would love to have that relationship and that peace that you're talking about, but I don't know it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray with you. If you're here online, you say, you know what, Pastor, I'd love to give my life to Jesus. With nobody looking around, will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? All across this room, will you just join me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. I make you the Lord of my life. I ask that you forgive me and you become my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So easy to get things mixed up about what God's perception of us is. Maybe you had a bad dad, but for me, the best analogy is an earthly father, a good earthly father, best earthly father. Maybe you had him, maybe you didn't. Imagine a dad that when you're scared just brings you up to sit in his lap and tells you it's going to be okay, that he'll protect you. But then that same dad who pushes you out onto a field of some kind of battle to tell you that you can do more than what you thought you could do. Ones that teaches you to rest, teaches you to play, but teaches you to work. One that would do anything for you, but also lets you do some stuff for yourself to keep you from becoming spoiled. It's like the perfect balance. That's your Heavenly Father. There's nothing He won't do for you. There are lessons He'll teach you along the way, but man, every lesson has a reason. It's got a purpose. So as you leave here today, man, we just pray that you walk in the fullness of that.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.